From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
In a few minutes, I will deal with this moronic column coming out of the Chicago Tribune in criticism of Roquan Smith for what happened to him, getting some of his stuff stolen, now recovered. We will deal with that here coming up in a couple of moments. I don't really want to talk too much about it because I don't think there's too much to be said, but I guess there is at least some rebuttal to this. If Georgia fans haven't had their say on this on social media already, we'll take our turn here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, in just a moment. Before that, though, there is a subject I've been trying to get into for a few days here. We just haven't had time, and I wanted to kind of deal with that off the top of today's show, and that's this sort of ongoing national conversation that's taking place about Georgia's quarterbacks. Jake Fromm, the incumbent starter, Justin Fields, the very good-looking incoming freshman who turned some heads at G-Day and obviously got a lot of attention going back to his time on the recruiting circuit as a high school player there at Harrison High School. And there is, I think it's very safe to say, some growing fascination out there around the country in terms of how these two quarterbacks are going to fit together. Fromm is obviously a very good starter. Fields would seem to be one of the really impressive incoming freshmen in all of college football here for 2018. What's it going to be like having these two guys on the same roster at the same time? And is there enough playing time for both these guys to be satisfied? The latest person to sort of be interested in this is Alex Scarborough from ESPN. And, you know, ESPN has its way too early top 25, and they sort of look at the big spring key takeaway for each of these top 25 teams, at least in their way too early ranking coming off the spring practice. And it's only a couple of sentences about each team. And for Georgia, the person assigned to write about Georgia was Alex Scarborough, and he talks about Justin Fields, which in itself is kind of interesting. He says that Justin Fields is ready to get on the field right now. Does that mean he'll unseat Jake Fromm as the starting quarterback? No. But Fields is too good an athlete and too capable a passer for Kirby Smart and the coaching staff not to find certain packages that allow him to play meaningful snaps right away. And it's that phrase that, hey, he's going to play meaningful snaps right away. Not something he works into over the course of a freshman season or sits for a year and then maybe has some of that in 2019 or simply waits his turn for Jake Fromm to exhaust his eligibility. According to the ESPN writer here, Justin Fields ought to be playing meaningful snaps right away. Not unseating Jake Fromm as the starter, but playing in some important moments and some important ball games from the very beginning of the season. And I think for the most part, Georgia fans, at least in some form or fashion, there's some agreement on that. I mean, if you follow our comment sections here each and every day, you see sort of a wide-ranging degree of disagreement here in terms of, you know, people already kind of siding with Fromm. People kind of already siding with Eason. That was a bit of a Freudian slip. Already kind of siding with Fields. But for the most part, if there's a Venn diagram of sort of overlapping opinions here, the one thing that you do get some sort of overlapping opinions on is that Fields is probably at least good enough to play some, right? And even if he's not overtaking Fromm, he's probably at least good enough to be on the field some here based on what we saw during G-Day. But I think where some Georgia fans may have a little bit of a problem with the ESPN issue here is the ESPN, you know, blurb on Justin Fields is if you want to talk about, like, the main key spring takeaway for Georgia coming off the spring – you know, I don't know that you're going to mention Fields on top of all the other issues that Georgia fans are paying attention to right now. Fields is certainly interesting. On a national level, he's clearly compelling because he's a five-star player. But is that more important for Georgia's success in 2018 than how Roquan Smith is replaced at the inside linebacker position, how even guys like Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter are replaced, how you know, Georgia evolves here in year three of Kirby Smart? Aren't those issues here more significant than what's maybe going on with Justin Fields and Jake Fromm? This is more of a curiosity born out of the potential for controversy than it is a curiosity born out of this ultimately what's going to decide if Georgia gets back to the college football playoff. So from that standpoint, maybe some Georgia fans have a bit of a problem with that. But the overall takeaway from the ESPN writer here is that Fields is a player worthy of playing. I think a lot of Georgia fans would say, yeah, you know what? That's probably true. In fact, even Kirby Smart, if you want to go back to G-Day, which is the only time officially we've seen Justin Fields in a Georgia uniform, even at the time, Kirby Smart seemed to kind of agree with that. He certainly had some nice things to say about Fields coming off his first spring in Georgia. Here is what he said then.
He's gotten better. He's more comfortable with the offense. But I'll be honest, I never felt like he was, like, behind with the offense from day one. He's done such a good job coming in, learning. It's not like it's been a growth process. He's gotten more confident. He's able to move around in the pocket and create some things when things break down.
So he's able to do all those things, and that's one of the things we saw from him back at Harrison High School. It's one of the things we expect to see from him in a Georgia uniform, and that's why a lot of Georgia fans will think that he will play some here this season. But where things could potentially get tricky and where Kirby Smart is going to earn that $7 million a year salary is, how do you satisfy the need to play Justin Fields because of his dynamic athletic ability and the, you know, the opportunity to sort of, you know, keep playing Kirby Jake Fromm because of how good he expects to be in his sophomore season? I mean, after all, go and look at some of these rankings that are out there of top quarterbacks in college football for 2018. You see Jake Fromm very high on most of these lists, very high. The kind of quarterback that's expected to capitalize in year two after learning a lot in year one, maybe even being better in year two. How do you find enough room for both these guys? You think about this in the sort of basketball terminology of finding minutes and finding touches. How do you keep both of these guys happy? I mean, it almost becomes the kind of thing that some recruits might be paying in and paying close attention to, because different recruits have different relationships with a different of these quarterbacks. I mean, I'll go back to the audio that we heard from Justin Fields, I should say, from Jaden Hazelwood not too long ago. Jaden Hazelwood, and talking about one of the reasons why he sort of maintains his commitment to Georgia, and one of the reason why he's excited about Georgia in the discussion about that, Justin Fields' name comes up pretty prominently. Here's a reminder of that from Jaden Hazelwood.
What do you think right now keeps you strongly committed to Georgia?
Just the staff. I mean, but I'm not going for a staff, to be honest, though, but I know that my boy Justin gonna do right by me if I go there.
So he says that he knows his boy Justin Fields is going to do right by him when he goes to Georgia, and ultimately that's indeed what's going to happen. I would imagine that Jaden Hazelwood ends up catching a lot of touchdown passes from Justin Fields in a Georgia uniform. But I would also guess that recruits like Hazelwood and many of these others for 2019 that do have strong relationship with Justin Fields, they're probably going to at least want to see Fields on the field in some, you know, fashion here in 2018, to see him sort of making a name for himself early, to make them feel better about the relationship what they have with Fields, and one of the reasons why they were interested in Georgia to begin with. Ultimately, though, I think the bottom line of this entire discussion, though, is that while we may not know how all this is going to play out, it may feel like a mystery of how does Georgia get Justin Fields involved and how quickly does that happen? Is he a big part of early games like South Carolina? Is he only playing in mop-up duty? For now, as I said, that is a bit of a mystery. But just because it's a mystery and just because it's unknown doesn't mean that we're in any way veering towards controversy whatsoever. I mean, there's another way to read what Alex Scarborough wrote at ESPN, that it's all pretty cut and dry, that Jake Fromm is the clear starter. I believe that he is. That Justin Fields is clearly a pretty impressive prospect and the kind of guy that you don't want to sit and let, you know, get dusty on a bench for a year. You want to let him be on the field some too. I think that's also pretty clear. As I've said over and over again, I don't believe it's ever a bad thing to have good players. Georgia happens to have a couple of them at the same position. And just because that's quarterback, a position that you typically think of as only room for one guy, doesn't mean that it's going to work out poorly for Georgia to have both these guys. I think Georgia fans are going to trust Kirby Smart and the offensive staff to figure all of this out. And I think for the fans like me and you who are going to watch all this play out, I think it all should be pretty entertaining. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are glad you are with us on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter pages. You can check us out live on video there, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form on SoundCloud, on Apple Podcasts, Android devices, the worldfamousdognation.com. We're glad you have checked out our program today, and as we said, we are brought to you today by Marco's Pizza, and this Mother's Day, which does come up on Sunday, give mom more than just a slice of your time. Give her pizza. You can get two medium, two-topping pizzas from Marco's for an everyday value of just $7.99 each. That's one for you and one for her. You can order today at marcos.com. I think that's a great value and a great offer. My family actually took advantage of that earlier this week, and sharing a little pizza with mom on Mother's Day, that seems to be a pretty good idea for me here as well. Later on today, in really just a couple of minutes, I'm really excited about this. For the very first time here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we're going to welcome in a special guest. We're going to talk to David Johnston. You know, I always say on our show that we're on the radio at noon on 960 The Ref. David's the morning show host there for Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and he's a great follower of Georgia football for a long time. He also happens to be one of the broadcast team members for UGA baseball. You can hear all those Georgia baseball games right there in Athens on 96 The Ref. And Georgia baseball is in the midst of quite a turnaround season here, and they head to Florida this weekend to play the number one ranked Florida Gators. So I thought this was a kind of a good day to sort of check in on the situation with UGA baseball. We'll do that with David Johnson coming up in just a couple of minutes here. Let me now, though, deal with a subject that is a little bit annoying, a little bit irritating. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But we probably should at least spend a minute on this. You know, Roquan Smith was the victim of a robbery and a theft from his car, and some of the items that were taken were like his prized possessions, his helmet he wore at Georgia, some of the jerseys. These are priceless artifacts. These are, you know, souvenirs he's going to want to hold on to for the rest of his life, and I think a lot of Georgia fans were rightly just devastated on his behalf that this stuff was taken from him. But at least it seemed like it was a story that was going to end well with really good news, as a lot of these items were recovered. Great work by the police to kind of get this done. Roquan Smith himself, in fact, took to social media to thank the police and thank the fans for sort of teaming up to sort of help get this crime solved. Here was Roquan Smith, what I thought, providing a happy ending to all this.
Good morning. I'll personally like to thank everyone for their kind words and prayers, as Athens-Clarke County Police Department worked very hard to identify the individual responsible for this. It was definitely huge. I would also like to thank the many of you that spread the information over various social media outlets. Due to the prompt attention by Athens-Clarke County Police Department, I was able to recover most of my items, as well as the individual being identified. Just like to thank you guys so much.
So that was what we thought was the good news, the end of this story. Somerville News, if you saw us on a video there, had a great photo of the police recovering the stuff from Roquan. That's the end, right? Well, apparently not. Steve Rosenblum, who's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune, of the city in which the Bears play in, the team that just drafted Roquan Smith, in his column on the subject, he actually criticized Smith for getting his stuff taken from him. I want to read you a couple lines here. He says, it's entirely possible that Smith did everything right and packed his car in preparation to drive from Athens to Lake Forest this week for his first minicamp with the Bears before becoming the number one pick several weeks ago. This would be the best possible scenario. That would be the scenario that Smith and the Bears need to be true in order to minimize this laughable episode. Or it's possible we're looking at a new and exciting turn in pratfalls for the Bears draft picks, because it doesn't sound as if Smith, the man the team and player himself described as a leader, did everything right. So this is just an example of what there was a lot of in this column, which is criticism of Smith for his role in getting his stuff stolen from him. At one point in time, he even sort of asked some accusatory questions about the fact that Roquan's driving a new BMW. Obviously, he's a first-round draft pick. I'm sure he's got a line of credit with his agent. You know, he's signed, on the verge of signing a huge contract here with the Bears. This all seemed poorly placed and out of left field. And Georgia fans, if you may have seen, if you follow the social mediums here, had some real problems with it. And I think that justifiably so. And I don't have a whole lot to add on this subject other than there is a reason why people are moving from Chicago to a place like Georgia all the time, and you don't see the reverse of that happening very much. I think Steve Rosenblum's column here is an example of that. I'm sure he's not a Bears fan, but maybe representative of the fact that Bears don't know what they're getting when it comes to Roquan Smith, who is, I think, truly a true leader in every sense of the word. I'm glad he got his stuff back. And, frankly, at one point in this Rosenblum column, he talked about the Bears playbook as if it was the Bible. I think that's part of the reason why the NFL kind of rubs me the wrong way a lot of times, because there's this sort of sanctimony about the genius of NFL coaches that put this playbook together. I've seen the Bears defense the last couple of years. If that's the playbook they're working off of, they maybe ought to think about changing that up a little bit. So the criticism here of Roquan Smith, I think, is completely out of left field and totally out of bounds, frankly, and I think most Georgia fans kind of agree on that. All right. A day early here, before we bring in David Johnson, let me dive into our Kroger Click List checklist. I talked about busy times for UGA Athletics on the road against Florida in baseball here this week, and you got some other things to think about here as well. Georgia softball in the SEC tournament, that begins today. They're going to play Arkansas, I believe, in the round two of the SEC softball tournament as the Georgia softball team gets going there. And the track and field, also SEC outdoor championships going this weekend too. So a lot of spring sports kind of coming down the line into some big moments here. So that's our Kroger Click List checklist. We do it every week here on a Dog Nation Daily. And speaking of Kroger and speaking of Mother's Day, let the celebration begin for Mother's Day with custom party platters starting at just $19.99. You can order online at Kroger.com or see a deli associate for details, Orders must be placed 24 hours in advance, so start planning today for your graduation celebrations. That means if you want to get in on this on Sunday, you need to do that here, but to, I guess before Saturday to get that done. All right, it's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. As I said, Georgia baseball got a big weekend coming up. Let's find out more about that as we welcome in David Johnston right now. And you can hear him every morning on our radio partner, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. He's been doing that for a long time and have been a part of the Georgia baseball broadcast for a long time as well. It is David Johnston making what I believe is his first appearance here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. David, thanks for your time this morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Brandon. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to chatting with you. And I like that I've elevated myself to just, he's been doing this for a long time. That's right.
You are a veteran in the ranks.
That's
now.
That's right.
And I want to talk to you about where you'll be this weekend in Gainesville, the Georgia series against Florida. Obviously, on this show, we always love to see the Dogs knock off the Florida Gators. Let me get a couple thoughts from you on a couple subjects before that, including a couple of things that I mentioned on the show before you got here. Obviously, the Jake Fromm, Justin Fields conversation continues to be interesting. I read some comments earlier from an ESPN writer on that subject, thinking that Fields will play, get some meaningful snaps this season for Georgia. You're talking to Georgia fans on the radio every single day. What are your listeners in Athens saying with the Fromm Fields thing right now? It seems like for the most part, fans are curious, but this is not really veering into the stratosphere of a controversy yet. How are your listeners sort of weighing in on Fromm and Fields right now?
It's almost a little bit like it was last year when it was Eason and Fromm, where Eason's the guy coming in, but you want to see what the new guy looks like, and he goes out and has an impressive spring game, and you're thinking, hey, this is great. We got competition at the quarterback position. This is going to be a lot of fun. And Eason starts, and all of a sudden he gets hurt, and you're like, oh, this isn't exactly how we envisioned this. And then Fromm goes out and has the terrific season that he had. It's almost like it's the same thing going again this year. It's like, all right, let's see what the new guy looks like who got all of his hype, and then you see him and you're like, well, it's not really hype. This guy looks like he could be really, really good too. It's not just the clippings and the headlines and stuff. So most people I talk to around here are like, they just feel like with Coach Chaney, they're going to know how to use Fromm and Fields together, and we're going to see kind of a balance. I keep hearing everybody talk about David Green and DJ Shockley, that it may try to be some kind of situation like that where we're going to see both of these guys. But, hey, the great problem to have, it's better to have 2 5-stars than 0. So I know a lot of people are certainly looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Dave, and I thought you said that really well, that just because we don't know how this is going to turn out doesn't mean it's going to turn out badly. We'll all be sort of, I think, curious to see how do they fit in together, but I think there is a very good chance that this coaching staff, and you mentioned some of the names in particular, like Jim Chaney and James Coley and others, they find a way for these two pretty good-looking young stars to sort of coexist at the same time, not on the field together at the same time, but in games, both playing, at some point. I think there's a chance this Georgia coaching staff figures out a way to make all of this work.
No, there's no question about it. And Fromm is a terrific player. We saw that last year. I mean, he's got a lot of those things that are hard to define, that it factor that people like to talk about, and carrying Georgia all the way to the championship game. But, guy, you see Fields, and he just – so dynamic, and you're thinking, athletically, you can't keep him off the field. I mean, it's one of these things where if he pans out to be as good as he is, there's no need to redshirt or anything like that. So how do you get both of these guys on the field at the same time? And I think we're going to see Coach Chaney and the other coaches, even Coach Smart, they're going to get it figured out. I mean, if there's a little bit of a growing pain with it, maybe a little bit, I don't know, but I think the end result's going to be really, really good.
Before we talk about Georgia baseball and the fantastic season they're having and a big series coming up this weekend, let me squeeze in one more thing here. What's your take on the Chicago columnist who really kind of went in on Roquan Smith? Obviously, Georgia fans on social media have had it with all of that. They are not too happy about any of that kind of stuff. What did you make of blaming Roquan for getting his stuff stolen?
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, this is a terrible draft pick for the Bears because his car got broken into and his stuff got stolen. That's what it seemed like to me. And I don't know the columnist. I don't know what his background is, although he labels himself as, like a smart aleck on Twitter. And it's like, Is he trying to troll
right.
Georgia or the Bears? I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of people are incensed over it, but to me, it's almost like, hey, I know you don't work for the Bears. I get that, but your fans, people that read your column, they're fans of the team, and you're getting this unbelievable player coming in,
yeah.
who could be the linchpin of your defense for a decade or so. I mean, I don't want to say Mike Singletary or Brian Urlacher. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on them, but I mean, that's the kind of player that Roquan could potentially be for them. And you know, you want to start out with your fan base by writing a story like that. That's just a terrible take and just a horrible reach. I just find that kind of surprising. But I think, you know, knowing Roquan the way we do, I mean, he's just such an unbelievable player. He'll win these fans over and that kind of thing. But it's just a dumb take to start out with. It's like his editor gave him 15 minutes to write a column, and that was all he could come up with.
Yeah, and I think that's well said. I'm also seeing some comments on social media that he's actually apologized. I'm on our Facebook comment section, someone's mentioning that he's apologized for what he said about the BMW.
Yeah, he issued a mea culpa about the BMW thing, but he, you know, he was kind of implying a little bit. It was like, hey, where did you get that BMW?
Right.
But other than that, he didn't take anything else back. So it was kind of a half-hearted apology.
Sure. So obviously you're part of the Georgia baseball broadcast team, and you guys do a great job on that, you and Jeff Dan. So that seems like a really fun gig. At Florida this weekend against the number one team in the country. And, you know, this is a Georgia baseball team that is in the midst of a bit of a renaissance, given obviously what has been pretty disappointing seasons here now for a while under Coach Scott Strickland. Why are things so much better this year? Obviously, I'm sure you're enjoying seeing the turnaround, but how is it exactly taking place?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And Coach Strickland has, you know, done a couple things differently this year. Well, first of all, had a bunch of freshmen that are now sophomores. And he had a good recruiting class from 2 years ago, and these guys are now sophomores. And they're, you know, the Aaron Shunks and the Cam Shepherds and the Tucker Bradleys and some of the others I'm leaving off right off the top of my head that are having terrific seasons. But Georgia did get a new pitching coach, and our volunteer coach, and you can't see me, but I'm saying volunteer coach in air quotes, because Pete Hughes is here with us this year. He was the former head coach at Oklahoma. He's basically kind of between jobs, but he is a terrific guy and a great influence on these guys. But the new pitching coach, Sean Kinney, and Pete Hughes have really, really helped out a lot. So we've got some different coaches here. I think this team was going to be better. I mean, I felt like that anyway. I didn't know that they were going to be playing as well as they have all year long. But those are the things that have really helped this year. But you've had, you know, your guys be guys, and that's what Georgia's had. Keegan McGovern comes back for his senior year. He's having an unbelievable season. He's at 13 homers. Aaron Shunk, who is Georgia's third baseman and closer, he broke his thumb in the middle of last year, missed the second half of last season. He's been dynamite this year. Cam Shepherd, his batting average is a little bit off, but he's still one of the best shortstops in the country. And where Georgia, you weren't sure if they were going to be as good this year, maybe the bottom of the order, they've had guys come through, like Georgia's catcher, redshirt freshman Mason Meadows, has had a great season. L.J. Talley at second base has had a big year out in the field and has come up with some big hits, too. So it's just basically been just that next step. And these new coaches at Georgia's, you know, that they got on the staff have done a great, great job.
So, obviously, we've seen, you know, Georgia dominate Georgia Tech here. That was exciting to see at SunTrust Park again the other night. Now it's another rival after, what, I guess, long winning streak now against Georgia Tech that's been kind of put together, including a season sweep for this year. Now it's another rival, number one Florida. Obviously, we'd love to see the Dogs knock off the Gators here. What would you say is the outlook for this series coming up against Florida?
Well, let me say this. Florida's really, really good, and
yeah.
The two guys that are going to be pitching for them tomorrow night and Saturday could both go in the top 10, and I'm not saying 10 rounds, top 10 overall picks. So we're going to see two really, really, really good right-handed pitchers. Florida's got great pitching. And, you know, so Georgia's playing at Florida this weekend, and Arkansas comes to Athens next weekend, and they're leading the West. So you've got, you know, record-wise between Georgia, Arkansas, and Florida, those are the top three teams in the league right now. If the Dogs could go 3-3 these next two weekends, they will have set themselves up to probably host an NCAA regional. Now, I don't want to put it all on the Florida series because, you know, it's a huge series. There's no question about it. But if the Dogs can go 3-3 these next two weekends, they have put themselves in great shape for the postseason. And we played them tough last year, won a game from them 2 years ago down there in Gainesville. I know they've got great pitching. Their offense is much better this year too. They've been unbelievable at home. I think they're 26-5 at home this year. They've been just lights out. So, I don't want to sound like I'm being negative, but in college baseball, in the conference series, if you don't get swept on the road,
yeah,
you just win one game, you've had a good, your weekend's not a disaster. And if you go play on the road against the number one team in the country that's really good at home and you don't get swept, it's been a good weekend. So I'm trying to say that without sounding
negative. No, I understand.
But that's what they would tell you about that. But if the Dogs go 3-3 over the next two weekends, they're in really, really good shape.
Well, that's exciting to think about, Dave. But we'll look forward to hearing your call of these games along with Jeff Dancer there on 960 The Ref. And I know you know that these college baseball postseasons can be incredibly fun. We haven't seen one around Athens in a while, but it's a fun thing for a lot of our viewers and listeners to sort of jump on the bandwagon for us. We head towards the end of the regular season here. We'll look forward to hearing more of your calls on that and hopefully have you back here on our program again to talk about it again very soon as well.
Would love to do it. And by the way, it's a great group of guys, too. And they deserve it. And there's plenty of room on the bandwagon. So anybody that wants to jump on, please do, because it's been a lot of fun already this year. Hopefully there's some good times more to go here as well.
David,
thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks so much. That's David Johnson there from Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, a terrific broadcaster. He and Jeff Dancer, I said this before, what an awesome gig that'd be. It's like, you know, these SEC towns in the fall are obviously great, but, you know, they're sort of taken over by football, you know. You go to these same towns for, like, spring and summer. You get to sort of relax and sort of, you know, stretch out a little bit. Beautiful weather that time of year. College baseball, I mean, admittedly, I am not a college baseball expert, nor have I, you know, sort of lived and died with college baseball over the course of my life. But I have been to enough games to know that it's a pretty fun product. And, you know, when the postseason comes around, and this is not a commercial. I don't have to do college baseball commercials. But when the postseason comes around, I mean, it is a pretty fun thing. I've been to some super regional games before. I don't know if I've ever been to a regional game, but I have been to a super regional game, and it's a good time. So I hope to see the Georgia baseball program kind of keep that going. I have a very important Dog Nation Daily announcement to give you in a couple of minutes here. Let me go back to what we were talking to David Johnston about a minute ago. And by the way, check him out on the mornings at 9:06 The Ref. Steve Rosenblum, I didn't see this morning, but it is up, and it's apparently been up for a while. It is a bit of a mea culpa, as he calls it, or an apology to Roquan Smith. He says, "I screwed up." This is Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Tribune. "In this space Wednesday, I wrote about Bears first-round pick Roquan Smith having some valuable stolen, including his Bears playbook, his iPad. Those items were taken from Smith's 2018 BMW X5 while it parked near his apartment. I criticized the Georgia linebacker for not only failing to protect the team-issued iPad, but also perhaps contributing to the incident. He says, I was sloppy and unreliable when writing about his new car, essentially saying that it was wrong for him to suggest that the new car was somehow an improper NCAA benefit. I don't have time to read the whole thing here. He says, I screwed up. I lumped Smith in with those gaining impermissible benefits. I was wrong. I apologize to Smith and the University of Georgia for that." So obviously that's a pretty big blunder on his part to have to go back and apologize for that. It sort of negates almost anything else he wants to say there. And I mean, yeah, listen, you leave every parking lot, it says, you know, make sure that you don't leave valuables in your car, make sure you lock your door. But that still doesn't make it right to blame the person for getting the stuff stolen. This is a guy who seems to be too quick to want to, you know, get some attention for a column and maybe didn't have all his facts together when he was doing that. Obviously, that's a pretty big blow to the Chicago Tribune for Rosenblum to have to apologize for that. I would say the Georgia fans probably played a pretty significant role in getting that done. So kind of interesting that Rosenblum is already backtracking on what he wrote about Roquan Smith only about a day or so after having initially written it. All right, so that is that. Let me give you a quick Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza announcement. You may have heard on Thursday, and if you're a regular listener to the program, this may have caught your eye or caught your ear a bit, that we did our Kroger Click List checklist. Normally we do that on Friday heading into the weekend. We did that today. The reason why is because there will be no Dog Nation Daily tomorrow. We are going to not being here. I'm actually taking the day off to go volunteer at my son's school. So I wanted to do that for him before the school year ends and kind of be there with his teachers and everybody doing a great job there at his school. So there will be no Dog Nation Daily tomorrow. Want to go ahead and give you a heads up on that right now. We'll obviously be back again on Monday at 10 a.m. live or in the podcast form whenever you check it out after the fact. To our friends in Athens on the radio, we'll obviously see you back again on live on Monday as well. So no Dog Nation Daily tomorrow. But we will look forward to seeing you back here again on Monday. And obviously, you know, some of the stuff that happens over the weekend, we'll kind of collect that and deal with that all together on a Monday. SEC Country Live, like always, this afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Just no episode of Dog Nation Daily tomorrow, either on the podcast or on the video. So enjoy your weekend after our show is done here today, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Monday. But for now, don't go anywhere yet, because there's plenty more of Dog Nation Daily still to come right now.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really enjoyed David Johnston a moment ago on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. A terrific guy, and looking forward to a really fun postseason for Georgia baseball. And, you know, he was trying, you know, David obviously is very well aware of the Gatorator countdown here on a Dog Nation Daily. And he's also, I think, pretty aware of the fact that I'm not necessarily a college baseball expert. So I think he was trying to sort of let me down easy on the idea of, hey, I know you want to see, you know, three trophies on the wall this weekend, three wins against Florida. This is the number one team in its own stadium. You're going on the road to play them there. I think he was trying to level set our expectations on that, which I guess I do appreciate. Kind of interesting stuff from David in that regard. Let's do our SEC through. And, of course, hope you'll check out SEC Country Live, 3 p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon on the SEC Country Facebook page. I'll also tell you that our Dog Day Q&A is coming up in just a moment. We have a good one today. We'll give you a chance to weigh in on that. Before that, though, first story I want to get to from the SEC world here. CBS Sports has ranked its top 25 coaches in college football for 2018. Now, they've done them all, but we're only going to deal with the top 25 for right now. There are SEC names on this list. Nick Saban is at one. Jimbo Fisher, somewhat surprisingly, at four from Texas A&M, the brand-new SEC coach. Kirby Smart's at eight. Dan Mullen's at 13. Gus Malzahn, despite just signing a $7 million contract extension, comes in at only number 14 on this list. And if you're Auburn, I think you got to feel like, man, now I don't know that they're, you know, putting a whole lot of faith and trust in these rankings, but if we assume that those are correct for a moment, if you're Auburn, do you feel good about spending $7 million a year on a guy that's 14th best coach in the country and no better than, what, third best coach in the SEC West, behind even Dan Mullen down at Florida, if you want to bring the SEC East into it, and a third-year coach in Kirby Smart? If you're Auburn, that's probably a little bit stinging, a little smarting there overall, no pun intended. I think that Malzahn's probably a better coach than that. I think he's a better coach than Dan Mullen, but if you're Auburn, you can't be loving that. As far as the overall national list goes, I'm going to run through some of these kind of quick. Saban, no doubt, one. Urban Meyer, two. Dabo Swinney, three. That top three, there's very little debate on that. You know, Jimbo Fisher at four, it's one of the reasons why I'm high on A&M for the future here. Although, if I was having to guess how CBS and Tom Fornelli's the writer here, I don't know if it's just his opinion that counts, but he's the one that actually wrote it all up. Would I have put Jimbo Fisher at four? I'm not quite sure that I would have. Then you got Chris Peterson at five, Gary Patterson at six, David Shaw at seven. That's when you get to a Kirby Smart at eight, ahead of Chip Kelly, the brand new coach at UCLA at nine, James Franklin at 10, Mike Gundy at 11, Bill Snyder at 12, and then you get the other SEC guys, Dan Mullen, Gus Malzahn, ahead of Lincoln Riley there to kind of round up the top 15. And my only point on this is, and I think some of y'all are going to think this is pretty bizarre, but I mean this nonetheless. If you look at the non-SEC names on this top 15, would you really take those coaches, if you have like a big state university of your own and you're trying to, you know, make a major program, are you taking most of these guys over just sort of the average SEC coach? I mean, if you gave me a choice of Chris Peterson at Washington, who I think is a very good coach, no doubt about that, or Will Muschamp, I think I'm taking Muschamp. For SEC-style football, you know, that sort of competitive edge, that, you know, proven recruiting chops, I think I'm taking Muschamp over Chris Peterson, although most of the country would disagree. Gary Patterson, sixth on this list. You know, a lot of these riders are in love with that sort of Big 12 brand of football because it's seemingly more innovative, and it's, I think, because the games are 52-49, sometimes it's sort of seemingly more interesting. I'm taking Will Muschamp over Gary Patterson, to say nothing of Kirby Smart. I mean, I don't even want to go down that road. I'm just saying the sort of typical average SEC coach, if he's proven himself as a recruiter, I'm probably taking that guy over some of these sort of obscure national names from these kind of, you know, national outposts that these riders seem to always fall in love with. I'm probably taking Muschamp over that guy. Speaking of Muschamp, one of the reasons I feel that way, he's on one of his spring speaking tour, you know, circuit events, and he gave some pretty blunt talk to South Carolina fans about how, you know, they had turned the corner there a bit, but there was still a whole lot more to be done. And he used a phrase in particular, and I'm sure we'll probably end up talking more about this on SEC Country Live later on this afternoon, but he said, hey, don't confuse progress with accomplishment. And that's obviously, you know, in the realm of coaching cliches. I won't deny that. But it would be very easy for Muschamp, given the fact that some people believe there's a very low ceiling for success at South Carolina, it'd be easy for Will Muschamp to pretend like what has happened there, you know, what, winning 9 games a year ago, things of that nature, it'd be easy for him to pretend that it is success, that this is what success looks like, and let me pat myself on the back. Instead, Muschamp seems to believe in himself enough to believe that there's a sort of another level for South Carolina to go to. Now, I don't know if it gets there. I think they're the second-best team in the East this year. Will they ever be a true threat to Georgia? Probably not. But is Muschamp better as a coach than a lot of people give him credit for? I happen to believe that he is. Let me squeeze in one more story here in our SEC through before we do our Dog Day Q&A for today. I saw where Justin McMillan had a message on social media. It may have been deleted by now. There are some websites that have a screen grab of it, where he talks about loving this game too much to be toyed with. This seems to be an obvious reference to the rumors that Joe Burrow is going to meet with LSU, the former Ohio State quarterback, about transferring. And this is the tricky thing when your school gets connected to one of these transfer names, especially at the quarterback position. You run the risk of really harming the reputation of the quarterbacks that you do have and potentially messing up your team chemistry. Now, I don't think that Justin McMillan's done enough as a quarterback to be mad about anything and any other name thrown into the hat of competition with him, but this is why these sort of situations are not all upside. There is some risk associated. If Orgeron and Dan Mullen at Florida chase after this transfer quarterback, the quarterbacks they currently have are not going to be too happy about that. And maybe the message from McMillan's the latest example of that. We will make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, we're going to continue doing our Dog Day Q&A during this portion of the program. I've been very happy with how well this has been received in terms of the people who comment on this every single day and the people who I sort of hear from after the fact. You know, a lot of radio listeners or podcast listeners that can't react in real time, they sort of react after the fact. It's been really fun. And for those of you that don't get a chance to watch the show on video, you should know that when our regular broadcast ends, we kind of keep the conversation going in the comment section for a few minutes after that fact. That's always really fun. Today, there is a reason for our Dog Day Q&A question. Let me show you the reason first, and then we'll give you the question. The UGA Football Equipment Office had a tweet about sort of reorganizing their locker rooms there, their storage areas there, and it got some attention because you see the three jerseys for Georgia. You see the red on the far left, you see the white in the middle, and for those of you not watching, prominently displayed in the screen here are the black jerseys for Georgia, which a lot of fans like, but Georgia famously sort of did not wear a season ago. The equipment office saying, hey, new jersey storage has been installed, but those black jerseys there, Georgia fans did not get to see those last year. And some Georgia fans are a little disappointed about that and even said so in Twitter responses to the UGA Football Equipment Office. So our Dog Day Q&A question for today is, are you a fan of alternate uniforms, whether it be black jerseys for Georgia? Some of y'all get more creative about some of this other stuff that you'd like to see. And this is one of those things where it's not unanimous, but I would say that the majority of Georgia fans do want to see some version of the alternate uniform. We do hear from some folks occasionally who like the uniforms the way they are without a whole lot of newfangled stuff thrown in there. But this is our Dog Day Q&A question for today, and we'll kind of dive into that and get some of those right now. And it looks like the Facebook comments, which were not working yesterday, are working better now. So we will check in on that. Yulia Yersal on Facebook says he's not worried about the uniforms. He just wants to win a national championship, and he wants to see the best team on the field, and that's all he needs to see. Trey Richmond also on Facebook says he loves the alternate uniforms, and I think that means he'd like to see more of them. Mickey Braddy, though, says he likes the uniforms the way that they are. Terrence Eberhardt says, this is a fair question to ask, what's the harm in wearing alternate uniforms? So I don't know that there is a real significant harm to it. I have always sort of felt, though, when you turn on the TV to watch two other teams, and for me, Ohio State sort of strangely is very guilty of some of this kind of stuff. When you turn on the TV to watch like one of these other sort of major power teams, and when they're wearing an alternate uniform, sometimes they're unrecognizable. And, you know, when you think about famous brands, they like for the brand to be recognized, to be easily noticed when you see it on TV. If Georgia wears two alternative uniforms, like, say, the one it wore against Boise State in 2011, it just doesn't look like Georgia. And so your brand extension is sort of harmed by that. So I don't know that it's necessarily all that bad, but it's not all positive necessarily. Enrique Murillo on YouTube says, I enjoy the UGA blackout uniform. I definitely hated the Gators' new uniform. He means those swamp green deals. The Tennessee smoky gray uniform is a good alternate over the ugly bright orange. That's true. I actually probably like the gray for them more so than I like the regular orange. Uniforms don't increase production on the field. That is true. And I also agree with Enrique on that point and would add to that that I think sometimes the impact they have on recruits is overblown. Yes, recruits like the black jerseys at Georgia. They even like the swamp thing uniforms for Florida. I ultimately don't believe that recruits are choosing a school because of that, though. And so from that standpoint, this is all more a matter of personal taste and preference than it is any kind of significant impact or significant harm to the program. All right, so if you're watching us right now, we'll keep that conversation going on video here in a moment. And if you are listening, you want to weigh in, you can hit me up on Twitter at DogNationDaily. And yes, I know, I have been incredibly behind on my Twitter responses as of late. I have gotten pretty behind on that, but I look forward to hitting some of y'all back on Twitter who've been reaching out to me lately because I always enjoy the two-way conversation we're able to have there on Twitter at DogNationDaily. For now, though, 170 days from right now, Georgia goes to Jacksonville. We think beats Florida in football. It's our 170 days away Gator Hitter countdown here on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marcos Pete's. And I guess we are now, what, one day away from Georgia, Florida in baseball, the number one ranked Gators. It may be a long shot because I know the number one team is going to be good in its own ballpark. Boy, I'd love to see Georgia go in there and get that done. So we'll talk about that next week. Remember, no show tomorrow, but we'll be back on Monday. Y'all enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.